Well, at the White House this week, a press conference on proposed fuel standard changes sparked a flurry of claims about the state of America's auto industry under President Trump. Ohio Senator Bernie Moreno, a longtime critic of the now-ended $7,500 federal EV tax credit, argued that eliminating the credit was the right move. That move, more cars sold in the U.S. and now being built here, and the new car prices are finally coming down. Those are pretty big statements with real implications for car buyers, automakers, and the broader market. It's the subject of our Mobility Makers. It's brought to you by Bridgestone. Getting people down the road matters, but getting generations down them, that's what really matters. Bridgestone. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more. To help us break down what's accurate and what it means for consumers, we're joined by Aaron Keating, Executive Analyst at Cox Automotive. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Always great to talk to you.
So we heard claims this week from Senator Moreno that new car prices are coming down, but the data shows average transaction prices continuing to rise. When you look at the numbers, what's actually driving the market and why are consumers still paying more?
You know, you're right that the prices are continuing to rise. Some of that is inflationary pressure because cars, you know, go up with the same inflationary pressures that consumer goods go up. But really, it's the mix in the market. We continue to see that the affluent households are the households that are holding up the new vehicle market. And more, they're opting for the larger and more expensive SUVs, trucks, et cetera. And cars and subcompact SUVs and crossovers continue to flip in market share.
So when the big three automakers were at the White House this week, they were touting, you know, the future and that prices are going to go down. Why do they have that positive energy?
You know, I think what's probably most accurate is that there's a potential for the cost of building the vehicles to go down. And that is that without the regulatory compliance and certainly gives a bit of a tailwind for the manufacturers, but doesn't necessarily always translate to consumer savings. That's yet to be seen based on what the automakers do with any of that additional cost that's coming back to them in a form of savings. So I'm not entirely sure how this will drive lower pricing for consumers. That remains to be seen.
So there's been a lot of talk about returning the manufacturing back here. So the CAFE standards get eased. You know, Jim Farley last week in the Oval Office said that this is going to allow them to make more affordable vehicles. Is that part of the idea here for the cost of for these cars to come down?
I mean, yes, I think in theory, the idea is if we remove regulatory barriers and requirements so the manufacturers are having to focus on perhaps powertrain development for vehicles they don't see are selling very organically and fast. Again, that's a reason to believe that manufacturing might be able to produce better margins and therefore allow the automakers to either offer more incentives or lower their prices. But in reality, the ship is somewhat sailed on powertrain development, and most automakers, if not all automakers, as you know, play on a global scale. And so what happens in the U.S. doesn't necessarily happen with the rest of the world, and then you have to make some tough decisions as an automaker on how you're going to reposition your cost structure, your capital, you know, reallocate your capital, et cetera, to meet global demand in other markets that are adopting EVs and new technologies. So it remains to be seen. Bringing manufacturing back to the U.S., yes, it's great for domestic production. We know labor costs are significantly higher here. There is a hearing in January where most of the automakers show up to talk about the regulatory environment for building cars. And again, something may come out of that. We'll continue to provide headwinds for the industry or tailwinds for the industry. But, you know, cars pricing is just incredibly complex, as we know, and nothing abnormal about the inflationary rise in the cost of cars to consumers. Again, it follows similar trends to consumer goods inflation, et cetera, et cetera.
Isn't this though just like the? Isn't this how it is now? I mean, it's not like we're going to go
normal?
Back 20 years.
Yeah, it's just the new normal.
Yeah, right. It's a new normal, and I kind of joking with someone yesterday saying, you know, at what point are we going to realize we're past the pandemic? And at what point are we going to look at sort of the longer arc of trends so that we can see that, yes, things bounced around during the pandemic, but we have sort of settled into this is the cost of producing cars. And again, America's choosing that with their wallets. You know, we lost a couple of percentage points of share for those smaller vehicles, but we made them up in the larger vehicles, the more expensive vehicles. So the pie isn't maybe necessarily growing exponentially. It's redistributing, but it's redistributing towards people who are willing to pay those higher prices and, in fact, want those larger cars.
And you know, and so if you're just an average American, you walk into a dealership today, Aaron, you know, and you're in this political and economic climate, what's the smartest mindset to have before you sign on that dotted line?
Yeah, you know what, I continue to say, think really about, if you're cost conscious, think really about what size car do you really need? Which sort of bells and whistles do you really need? We are seeing an influx of buyers who are willing to buy, go back to the base models and such. You know, try to work with your dealer to look at the different selections and options that are available to you, because again, we're still making plenty of vehicles that are under the average transaction price. It's just that individuals aren't going for them. So there are options out there for people who are more cost conscious. It's just a matter of having to make that tough decision. Do I need an engine and four wheels to get me around? And what price point can I do that at where I'm still satisfied with the purchase? Or, you know, moving down to the used market, which we see often with cost-conscious consumers.
Aaron Keating, Executive Analyst at Cox Automotive. Always appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great speaking with you all. Have a great holiday.
You as well. I mean, you know, $50,000, man, you know, average new car price. You know, people,
no, it's crazy.
$1,000 car notes and stuff now.
Right. Well, to Aaron's point, there's a rise in late auto loan payments, which experts say is a symptom of the lowest incomes are suffering to pay their car bills. Mm-hmm. And auto loan debt is not yet at a crisis point, but they're following these payments as an indicator of wider economic stress. So again, she said, like, the affluent people are buying these really expensive cars, mm-hmm. maybe cash. And then people without that kind of money are struggling to pay their bills.
But this is emblematic of a lot of different areas. Like, car sales are not going to roll back 20 years. Home sales are not going to roll back 20 years.
No.
I mean, it's not like you can go to Harvard for the same cost now that you did 20 years ago. I mm-hmm. mean, like, the problem is these industries have all just continued to raise their prices, and people are still buying the product. People are still going to college. People are still needing to buy houses. People are still needing to get around from place to place.
The income is not rising, though.
The income, and that's the problem.
That's the issue.
I mean, that's really the issue. And then, you know, I appreciate when Aaron says, like, we got to move past the pandemic, and that's fine. But the problem is I think there's still a little bit of that hangover from, okay, well, you know, what happens if something goes down again? Like, you know, kind of pre-planning for the future. You know, it becomes a problem when people are just shelling out a lot of money, and what's the immediate return?
Well, your car loses value the minute you drive it off.
No doubt.
Well, as soon as you drive it off the lot.
Yeah.
He's taking over as their tournament director and co-executive director of the Rocket Classic, and he's our guy, host of WJR's JR Sunday. It's Mark Hollis next at 6:49 on JR Morning.